welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And today on the show, we are talking about All of Us Strangers, which is a new film from writer-director Andrew Haig and starring Andrew Scott and Paul Mescal. And it's a heavy one, but we get into a lot of really good stuff in this conversation. Joining me is film critic Eric Langberg, and we have a lot of really interesting stuff to get into on this one. So make sure you've seen the movie, because this is definitely one of those movies you don't want to get spoiled for you before you get a chance to see it. So make sure you've watched it, and then we've got this great conversation coming up with lots of great puzzle pieces. Before we get to it, I do want to remind you, as always, to make sure you're subscribed to Piecing It Together wherever you listen to podcasts. You can follow us on social media at Piecing Pod, and don't forget to join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. And with that said, we got a lot of stuff to get into, so let's just get to our conversation about All of Us Strangers. All right, we're going to talk about All of Us Strangers today, and we've got Eric Langberg with us. Eric, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to talking about this movie, but before we do, it is your first time on the show, so why don't you tell my listeners a little about you and what you do?
Sure, yeah. I'm a freelance critic. I have my own site called Everything's Interesting, and that everythingsinteresting.press. But then I also write for places like Slash Film. I've written for This Fool, Gaily Dreadful, a bunch of different places around the internet.
Right on, right on. So this movie, All of Us Strangers, when we were talking about getting you on the podcast, you had kind of pitched this one out there as a possibility. I just got to watch it this past week. I'd been waiting for it to get into release. For whatever reason, this wasn't one that us critics got a screener for here in Vegas. I don't know what that's all about. But when did you see this?
So I've seen it a couple times. I first tried to watch it at Beyond Fest in LA back in, I think, October. And I wound up walking out of that screening because people were laughing. And I could not figure out why. Beyond Fest is kind of like a genre festival. Lots of like horror, sci-fi.
Yeah.
So this movie didn't really fit the rest of the lineup. Like, it was a double bill. Later that night, they were showing the new Toxic Avenger. Like, it just didn't feel sure. Like the right kind of tonal match. Like, they threw t-shirts into the audience before playing this movie. So I wound up walking out after the first sex scene. People were laughing, and I figured I didn't want that to be my first experience of this movie.
Sure.
So wound up seeing it again, I think, December, and I've seen it three times now with much better audiences than that first one. And yeah, I found myself very, very moved by it. So happy to be here talking about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that is a really weird choice to play this at a festival like that. And I mean, obviously, you know, there is a ghost-like component to it, which may come up in some puzzle pieces, but it's still not at all the right setting for something like that. With that said, was this a movie that you had been looking forward to? Were you a fan of Andrew Haig's other work?
Yes, very much so.
Yeah, right on.
And Paul Mescal,
yeah,
of course.
Sure. Which, by the way, I should kind of just say this right up front. I haven't seen anything Paul Mescal has done that I was like super into yet. I know last year everyone was nuts for After Sun, and that just...
Myself included, yeah.
Oh, yeah, see? And it just did not really hit me in a way. Yeah, everyone else loved it, and I just did not really get it. I wanted to, enjoy something he did. Everybody else did, but I think he's great here, and happy to, you know, be on the train, you know, in time for Gladiator 2 this year, I guess.
Yeah.
But we'll see. But with that said, let's start getting into some puzzle pieces. We'll talk about all the things that go on in this film along the way. But what do you have for your first piece?
My first one is Andrew Haig's, I believe, his first film, Weekend.
Okay.
There's a lot of similar DNA, I think, especially in the scenes in All of Us Strangers, where it's sort of just the two of them connecting intimately, sexually, but just sort of sitting around talking about what it's like to be queer in the world. Weekend takes place over a weekend and is people who connect initially just for a hookup, but form a more emotional connection as the weekend goes on, just by having these sure. like intimate conversations with one another about their lives as queer people.
Sure, absolutely. A great one to kick it off with here. And, definitely, you know, both movies have that feeling of like getting to just be a fly on the wall as these people exactly. get to know each other. And so, yeah, definitely a similar vibe there to go off of. And, you know, certainly a really, you know, a really well done version of that. Of, you know, we see rom-coms, we see like Walk and Talks, like you think of like the Before series and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. like, this is different. It's like all like stuck in a room, like stuck in one place, and like they don't right. really get to go out into the world that much. So it's like their own kind of things there. But I'm going to go more to the metaphysical aspect of the film, I guess, a little bit with my first puzzle piece. And I'm going to go with David Lowery's A Ghost Story. A story about a man who dies and comes back as a ghost, a literal ghost in a white sheet, to watch his wife going through the grieving process. And it deals with similar themes of like loss and regret and what really matters in life. And it's also all very centered around music. Music is super important in All of Us Strangers, yes. you know, from the final scene to the main character Adam's record collection, that when he goes back to his childhood home, you get to see some of the records and the posters and all that. The main character, played by Casey Affleck in A Ghost Story, was a musician before he died, and you know, you get to hear some of his songs, which kind of fit into the theme itself as well. And so there's a lot of that intersection between you know, that longing, the grief, the all that stuff, and music, which really music is such a powerful thing when it comes to any of those kinds of big emotions that everybody feels.
Definitely. I love that scene in All of Us Strangers where he's flipping through the record collection, because there's something queer about a lot of those choices. And I've kind of had that experience too, going back to my childhood bedroom and being like, looking around and being like, oh, there were maybe some signs here when I was a kid that I didn't pick up on, my parents never picked up on, but
yeah,
it's an interesting way how we create our identity through pop culture.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm straight, but I've always liked all that music. So like, I'm like, sure. I had all those records too. So yeah, for sure. What do you got for your next piece?
Up next, I've got Tom Ford's A Single Man, which stars Colin Firth as an older gay man who I believe it takes place in the 50s or 60s. I'm not sure. It's been a minute since I've seen it. But that to me is one of the best films about sort of queer loneliness. He had a partner that he lost, and it's just about him going through, you know, middle age as somebody by himself trying to figure out what it means to be a single man in the world who's looking for other men. And he winds up falling in with a younger man who's a young Nicholas Holt. So there's kind of a similar age thing going on as there is in All of Us Strangers. Older, queer, and younger person who is more comfortable with his sexuality.
Sure.
Interesting dynamic you don't see absolutely. Portrayed too often.
Yeah, yeah. There's definitely a that dichotomy between, you know, their points of view, even though they're both gay men, like they both have very different experiences with it. The only right. similar experience other than being gay is having family that isn't necessarily okay with their choices, or maybe just doesn't understand right. them. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a good parallel there with A Single Man. So yeah, good one there too. I like that. I will stick with the ghost stuff and go with The Sixth Sense from M. Night Shyamalan for my next puzzle piece here. This is kind of a reverse.
I left that off because I figured that you were going to have
Yeah. It's kind of a reverse Sixth Sense in a way, because in The Sixth Sense, all these ghosts want Bruce Willis's help. Spoiler alert for The Sixth Sense, by the way. But they all want Bruce Willis's help, and that's why he can see them, and that's why he can interact with them while no one else can. And All of Us Strangers, of course, you know, we give the spoiler alert at the outset, but you know, his parents, the main character Adam's parents, they are not actually, you know, they're imaginations or ghosts or a combination of the both. And so is Paul Mescal's character. And so they all are there, though, not because they need Adam's help, but because Adam really kind of needs their help in kind of coming to grips with what his life has gone through and you know, what he needs to kind of push ahead and create a better life for himself going forward. And so that's why I say it's like almost like a reverse version of The Sixth Sense.
Definitely, yeah. I think, like The Sixth Sense, it's fun to watch All of Us Strangers again and see all the little hints that are dropped throughout. One of Paul Mescal's very first lines is something about how the windows don't open because then they would find our bodies on the sidewalks. Like,
oh wow!
From the moment he's introduced, you're thinking about him as a body and somebody who's headed for death. Great parallel there, definitely.
That is cool. Yeah, I didn't realize that about that first line or beginning of the introduction for him. But yeah, I'm sure I've only seen it once, but I'm sure it's probably peppered with all kinds of little clues and stuff like that throughout that's where it's headed. And I knew there was something coming, but I certainly didn't expect it to go in exactly the direction it went. But what do you got for your next piece?
So next, I actually have a miniseries. It's called London Spy. Stars Ben Whishaw as a man who meets and has a romantic night with a man, and then that guy turns up dead, and he gets sort of pulled into a conspiracy theory that involves spies in London. Ben Whishaw's portrayal of this character, who is sort of like Adam in All of Us Strangers, he's reaching middle age and is kind of by himself, and this one night with this guy is unusual for him, and so when it all gets taken away, he's sort of left reeling. And there's this really powerful scene. I believe it's the first or second episode of this miniseries where Ben Whishaw's character goes to get tested after having this hookup, and it's just like a single take just on Ben Whishaw in the 2 minutes it takes for the nurse to step out and get the results and come back in and let him know. And his performance is just so, it reminds me of Andrew Scott in All of Us Strangers. It's just very, very nuanced, just like really taking you on a journey on his face as he sort of cycles through a bunch of emotions, fear and sadness and loneliness and all those things.
Yeah. Absolutely. I haven't seen that series. I love Ben Whishaw, so I'm sure it's great.
Fantastic. Yeah.
But yeah, just to use that though to talk about Andrew Scott's performance. I mean, it's a really interesting performance because he doesn't really give away what he's feeling in any of those scenes, but he's clearly going through a lot in every single one of those scenes. And it's kind of piecing together what it is exactly that is going through his head. And the fact that all of the things as this movie plays out, we, are really seeing that basically it all is kind of playing out in his head in a way. I mean, there's ways to read the film, but, his face then becomes just the window to all that and, how he's actually experiencing all these things that we're seeing as the audience. And so there's just a lot of layers to that, and it must be an incredibly difficult role to take on something like this. And I wasn't really that familiar with Andrew Scott. So, fantastic performance. Yeah.
Fleabag? You haven't seen Fleabag season 2?
I have not watched Fleabag, but yeah.
Hot priest. Yeah, he's great.
Okay. Right on.
Yeah, I love his performance in those scenes because he does such a good job at, as a queer person looking back on relationships with parents and, missed opportunities. There's a lot of simultaneous emotions that can come up, right? It's guilt and resentment. There's a lot of resentment in this movie, but you can see it on his face, like the moments where he chooses to let all of that hurt go, which I found really powerful. It's a very sad ending, but it's also I think a cathartic one. I believe he's gonna be okay going forward. Yeah. Like he's definitely learned something, and I think that all plays out on Andrew Scott's face in it.
No, absolutely. And yeah, it plays big on the emotions in that ending. And again, that kind of ties back into the music and all that stuff. Yep. That's actually a good setup for my next piece, which I was thinking about Ad Astra, the James Gray film with Brad Pitt. As far as using a kind of genre film to tell a story that's essentially just about emotions and feelings and all that stuff.
And dads,
absolutely. And, the idea of Brad Pitt's character just going all the way to outer space, literally just for one last moment with his dad is, kind of similar to this whole you know, strange ghost story unfolding just so this character can, you know, have these last moments with his parents and kind of learn from it and grow and go forward from there. So, yeah, I think Ad Astra is another kind of version of this thing where you're taking very human emotions but giving it, you know, a much bigger genre kind of wrapping, so to speak. And I think All of Us Strangers does it a lot better than Ad Astra does. Ad Astra kind of meanders quite a bit, but sure. You know, they're definitely similar though in that idea.
Yeah, I think there's maybe some similarity there between Brad Pitt and Andrew Scott's performances too. Like, I remember this moment in Ad Astra where his face is like mostly still, but somehow Brad Pitt manages to like make the bags under his eyes twitch.
Yeah,
you can just see the emotion happening underneath the surface, quite literally.
Yeah, no, it's a great performance for sure. What do you got for your next piece?
So up next, I have Steven Spielberg's AI, artificial intelligence. Okay. Specifically thinking about the very end of that movie, where David, the AI child, thousands of years in the future, through the magic of these, you know, mecha robots that have taken over the world, they managed to give him one final day with his mother. And it's such a bittersweet ending. He seems at peace with everything. He's been, you know, trapped under the water for thousands of years, but just this one final idyllic day with his mom is enough for, you know, the rest of eternity for him. In thinking about that scene in the diner with Adam and his parents, where he's just sort of asking for more time and then eventually realizes that, you know, this has been healing enough and I've just got to figure out a way to move forward.
Yeah. That's a really good one. Yeah. I haven't watched AI in so many years. I need to revisit it one of these days. Yeah. I remember liking it a lot, even though everyone around me hated it. But I'm going to have to revisit that soon.
I think people have come around on that one for sure. That's one of my all-time favorites, I think.
Right on. I will go with Beetlejuice. You know, yes, in Beetlejuice, it's not the actual parents. It's just kind of like parental figures in a way to Winona Ryder. But, you know, they did die in a car crash and they still live in this creepy old house. And she gets guidance and, you know, gets to have conversations with them and form a bond with them. And, you know, essentially, that is what's happening here in All of Us Strangers. There's the parents who died in a car crash, and they're still in this creepy old house hanging around. So I didn't realize how many of my pieces were going to lean into the, you know, the ghost story aspect of it. But hey, Beetlejuice, why not?
I like that. I was trying to think of something, and I didn't get anywhere. But with the house as a locus for some supernatural parental something. So that's a great one. Yeah.
Right on. Well, what do you got next?
So my last one I have is maybe a little out there, but I've got The Final Girls, which is a movie about a girl whose mother, I believe, also dies in a car crash. But through some sort of something or other, she manages to enter a slasher movie that her mom acted in back in the 80s. And so through the magic of genre, she's able to have a couple last conversations with her mom as an actress in this movie. Which kind of makes me think of the way that All of Us Strangers uses ghosts and screenwriting, right? You said earlier there are ways to read this movie. I think there's a way to read it where everything we're watching is sort of Adam the writer's invention. He's written himself a way to process all of this trauma. And The Final Girls sort of uses a similar thing, like through storytelling tropes, she's able to get some closure.
Yeah, I've never actually seen that movie, but it sounds really fun. And to the point of reading this movie as all being, you know, maybe part of his writing, because we see that he is a writer and that he's been writing. I almost put Adaptation on my list, but I decided not to because I bring it up on this podcast way too much. So, but yeah, certainly you could definitely look at all of that as I even thought of going back to that house where he grew up as like research. And then just while he's there, he imagines everything that's going on.
Exactly.
So, So yeah, I mean, there's definitely many different ways you could look at it. But for my last puzzle piece, I kind of went with a goofy one to wrap it up, even though, you know, it's a pretty damn heavy movie. But, you know, this character, Adam, much like Dan Aykroyd before him in Ghostbusters, does have a ghost go down on him. So I went with Ghostbusters.
So. Very true. Yeah, you're not wrong.
I think they're probably the only two movies where that happens. So, you know.
Yeah, I don't think I could think of a third. Yep.
So, yeah, that's my last one. So I'll read down our list of puzzle pieces here. We'll get into some closing thoughts here for all of us. Strangers, we talked about Weekend, A Ghost Story, A Single Man, The Sixth Sense, London Spy, Ad Astra, AI, Artificial Intelligence, Beetlejuice, The Final Girls, and Ghostbusters. I squeezed Adaptation in there. Why not? But, yeah, I think that, you know, this movie, as heavy as it is, like, it's a really, you know, beautiful story, and it's unique in a way in how we were kind of talking about it with, you know, like with Ad Astra, like, you know, tying together such, you know, genuine emotion that everybody kind of goes through at some point in their life, and the experience of the gay characters with like something that's much more genre, much more supernatural, something I did not expect going into this movie. I don't know how well the movie is doing. Obviously, a lot of people were really hoping it was going to be like an Oscar hopeful. And it was, you know, looked over like completely.
Myself included. Yep.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't know how it's doing as far as like, you know, making money or whatnot, but I don't think it was necessarily sold as the movie that it is. And I'm curious, like, you know, maybe with a little bit of a better push, it, you know, could have done a lot better.
Yeah, I hope it's at least the kind of thing people discover, you know, on streaming someday. I think it maybe does work better without an audience, as I learned my first time out.
Sure.
It feels like a very personal film to me. I think so much of what he goes through are things that I've never seen done quite so well on screen with, you know, the queer experience and what it's like to look back on a life and think about missed opportunities because you've spent so much time being upset about parental relationships. So that's my takeaway is it blends genre and parental stuff that everyone can relate to, but it's also very specifically queer in a way I found really powerful.
Right on, right on. Well, I think that does it for all of us strangers. Eric, is there another movie you watched recently you'd like to recommend to our listeners?
Ooh, that is a great question. Yes, I think. I saw Out of Darkness the other night, which is the new movie that takes place back in the Stone Age. It's like, not 10,000 BC, but far back. And it's just sort of about a group of travelers in sort of a new part of the world. and it's sort of a creature feature that there's something going on in the woods. And it's got phenomenal sound design. It creates a lot of scares through sound in a way I found very fun.
I hadn't even heard of this. And this comes out like next week at the time that we're recording.
Yes.
How did I not hear about this movie? I'm going to have to go watch the trailer.
It was AMC's secret screening the other night. AMC does the thing where you like buy a ticket and you don't know what movie it is. So it was Out of Darkness. Highly recommend.
Right on. I will have to check that out. Well, right on. Eric, tell people where they can find you and your writing.
Yes, I'm on Twitter at Mr. E. Anders. And my own site where I write for myself and I'm Rotten Tomatoes accredited is everythingsinteresting.press.
Right on, right on. Well, hey, thank you so much for doing this show and hopefully we'll get you back again soon.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
All right. So I hope you enjoyed that conversation about All of Us Strangers. Thank you to Eric for joining me on that one. And thank you to all of you for listening. If you're enjoying Piecing It Together, of course, make sure you are subscribed on your podcast app of choice because we've got a lot of Piecing It Together on the way. Lots of episodes. We're going to be announcing more live episodes here any day now. Well, that's at the time that I'm recording this. They'll probably have already been announced by the time you're hearing this. So check the show notes. There's lots of live shows on the way and lots of other stuff on the way. So make sure you're subscribed. You could also follow us on social media at Piecing Pod. Join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. And don't forget, we do have a Patreon, the Produced by David Rosen Patreon, where I post bonus and advanced content from Piecing It Together, from Awesome Movie Year, and from my music career. And sometime in the next like couple of months, I'm planning on posting some new bonus music on the Patreon. I need to finish like getting it prepped for release on there. But that's going to be some exclusive stuff. Aside from all the 24 singles that I'm releasing this year, that's going to be exclusive to the Patreon, along with all the early access to Piecing It Together and Awesome Movie Year episodes and all the other cool stuff on there. So if you really like the show and want to support us in that way, check it out. It's patreon.com/bydavidrosen. And speaking of the bonus content that you can get on the Produced by David Rosen Patreon, I am going to play something that you can only get on that Patreon. This is not available anywhere else. So a few years ago, I released an album which was the film score for a film called Beater, and then a compilation of music that I had done for other films from the same director, this director, Chris Johnson. And one of those films is a film called Unrequited, which is about the regret and the complicated emotions felt by a gay man who is professing his love for a childhood friend. And so I thought that would be a good, fit here for all of us strangers. So we'll go out with a piece that is actually an extended version of the title theme, Unrequited. The abridged version is on the soundtrack album, but this is a more extended version that was actually featured in the film itself. So I hope you enjoy it, and we will be back with more Piecing It Together real soon.
an All Points West production, produced by David Rosen in Las Vegas.